23 minutes past seven on Monday night, Serena. The World Is Yours from Illmatic, the debut album from Nas. It's 20 years since the release of this groundbreaking album, and rap and hip hop have changed dramatically since then, for sure. Jim Carroll has been looking back at that time for us and listening back to the album. Just bring us back to 1994, you know, because you're going to think of grunge and you're going to think of Britpop. You're not necessarily going to think of hip hop.
No,
but who was there at that time and what had we got at that time?
I suppose 1994 was a golden age for hip hop that particular time. But the previous November, Wu-Tang Clan had released their debut album, Into the 36 Chambers. And all the way through 1994, we had these great albums coming out. Beastie Boys hit top form, Ill Communication. Notorious B.I.G. emerged, Ready to Die in September. Outkast had their debut album. Out of Chicago, you had Common, then known as Common Sense, releasing his debut album. And in the middle of it all, you had this kid called Nasir Jones, coming out of the Queensbridge projects in Queens in New York City with Illmatic. He was 20 years of age when the album was released. He wrote these rhymes when he was 18 and 19. It was a masterpiece. Right out of the box, Sean, this was a masterpiece.
So we're very much, whatever was happening in Europe was happening in Europe, but this was the American scene. How far away was Nas and this album in particular from the likes of Puff Daddy and the whole East-West feud thing?
That was to come. I mean, if you look back, 1994, hip-hop was in his kind of teenage years. Let's say, late 70s, the first tracks were being released. So 1994, it was in his teenage years. You kind of had the end of the sort of De La Soul tribe called Quest, that whole kind of Native Tongues conscious movement. You were a couple of years away from Notorious B.I.G. squaring up to Tupac and that whole ridiculous East Coast West Coast beef, the end of both rappers being killed. So I mean, he kind of came at the right time. He also came at a very interesting time for New York hip hop as well, because at that particular time the focus had switched to Los Angeles with N.W.A. and with the gangster rap. So New York was seen as, it was still the birthplace of hip hop. It always will be the birthplace of hip hop. It's always be a place where some incredible rhymers are going to come out of. But at that time, it had lost its luster a little bit. So for Nas to come out with Illmatic and kind of put New York back on the map was a very serious thing.
And it was Queensbridge within New York specifically that he was putting on the map, maybe rather than back on the map.
Yeah.
What was Queensbridge like? What were the projects that he was living in? What sort of life did he have?
Queensbridge was the largest public housing estate in America. So it was a huge block of kind of like high-rise apartments. It was grimy. It was crime-ridden. There was racial problems of all sorts going on there. In the 50s, those who managed the estate basically, I suppose, contributed to what was going to come by moving an awful lot of the white families out and moving African-American and Latino families in. And basically, it became a ghetto. I mean, it was a large, rough area. So basically, you had Nas, this teenager, watching what was going on, observing everything that was going on, writing down his notebook what he saw. If you listen to the album very carefully, there's a cast of characters in there, and you kind of wonder sometimes what happens to those characters. As with any great album or any great novel, what happens to those characters he's talking about? We know about some of them. There's a guy referenced in the album once or twice called Ill Will, and he's kind of like was Nas, his very, very close friend, and he died. He was killed in a drunken brawl.
And Ill Will was sort of responsible for Nas getting involved in the music scene in the first place, wasn't he?
Completely. Ill Will was the kid who introduced Nas to hip hop. He had turntables. He knew about hip hop. He was one of the first people to kind of inform him. But there are other characters throughout the album as well, Sean. And again and again, there's these ghosts in the machine that you keep hearing about. And you just wonder what's going on. The sound on the album as well. I mean, aside from obviously we'll talk about the soul and the jazz inflections you hear throughout the album, but like there's a kind of a soundscape, an ambience there as well. That's very gritty, very New York, very, very underground.
So how would you say he paints Queensbridge? Is it a love relationship or is it a hate relationship or is it the inevitable love-hate one?
I think basically how he paints it is much the same way as David Simon paints Baltimore. I mean, in The Wire, on the surface you find this place is really grimy and crime-ridden, but there's a heart and soul there as well. So I mean, he's kind of like seen street deals happening. He's seen the effects of poverty. In Nas's case, he's seen the effect of kind of like robberies and crime on his neighborhood. But even though all that's going on, even though you've got drug dealing going on his doorstep, it's still his neighborhood. It's still the people he grew up with, and it's still the place he takes kind of a lot of pride in.
Tell me a little bit about One Love, which is a track a bit further down the album.
Yeah, One Love, the thing about this album is the great thing about Illmatic is it's only 10 tracks long. And I've listened to it again today, and I remember after 40 minutes were up, I was thinking, is that it? And you remember, given how bloated albums are right now, the fact it's only 10 tracks is quite incredible. This is just a superb example of musicianship, but particularly his craftsmanship when it comes to writing really, really strong lyrics.
One Love from Illmatic, the debut album from Nas, which is 20 years old this week. Jim Carroll is talking to us to me about it. You listen to that and you realise what a wordsmith he was. Was he alone in being that good a rapper at that time?
Most definitely. I mean, like when you I suppose hip hop fans always kind of work out who's the greatest of all, who's the best. Is it Jay-Z? Is it Biggie Smalls? Is it even Tupac? I mean, no, like Nas on this album, like, trumped everyone. I mean, there's a level of writing, there's a level of observational power, there's a lyricism there that is just so detailed, so dense, and so right. I mean, it's Dylan-esque, it really is.
And lines that perhaps when you hear them on this album, you go, oh, that's where it comes from.
It's really funny. This morning, I remember just turning around at the stereo and kind of going, hang on a second, I'm out for Dead Presidents representing me. I'd forgotten that's a Nas line. There's another line as well, I never sleep because sleep is a cousin of death. These hip hop standards, these hip-hop quotables, and they all came from this 20-year-old kid 20 years ago.
If we were looking at a rapper hip-hop album now, we'd be talking about, oh, who are the guest stars and who are the producers on here? What about Nas? How much of a one-man band was he?
He was very much a one-man band. I mean, he did have some great producers on board. He had Q-Tip, he had Large Professor, he'd DJ Premier as well. But in terms of, like, the guests, there's no guests on this album. It wasn't bloated. Like I said earlier on, there's 10 tracks here. There was no need for him to have anyone else on because
his dad is there, isn't he? But that's because of a musical taste. Thing.
Yeah, his dad is this incredible jazz trumpeter from the 60s called Olu Dara, and he's there. I mean, like it's interesting as well that like there's so much kind of soul and jazz running through the album as well. And in many ways, these were the records that were under, I suppose, a sideboard or a cupboard or a record player in his Queensbridge living room. They're the albums that kind of informed his musical base. And it's also like it's done in a very natural way. Sometimes when you get the albums of that particular vintage who are putting, I suppose, jazz samples to the test, it's very forced. In his case, it's very natural. There's nothing forced about it at all. It works. It's warm. It shows you that he knew where he was coming from. He knew where he was going to.
Did it have a huge impact at the time?
At the time, it's really interesting. At the time, it didn't have as much an impact as you would think looking back now. The biggest impact it had was Hip Hop Magazine, The Source, gave it 5 out of 5, and it caused a complete sensation that they gave 5 out of 5 to a debut artist, and they were blown away by it. And reading the review today, you can see how excited they were by hearing it.
And when you look at hip hop and rap today, and you compare it back to this album in 1994, do you go all glassy-eyed and nostalgic on me?
Actually, I always go on glassy-eyed nostalgic about albums like this. Yeah, I do and I don't. I mean, on the one hand, you know, it's a fantastic album. It stands the test of time. 20 years on, it still sounds as fresh as a daisy. But, like, I'm always kind of wondering about, like, hip-hop artists today and them moving on. I mean, someone like Kendrick Lamar, when he released Good Kid, Mad City, for example, I mean, that was Nas-like, Illmatic-like in what it was doing, you know? And hip-hop has moved on. Hip-hop is kind of like a sound of what's happening right now. And, like, I mean, looking back 20 years, you know, yeah, it's a really, really strong album. Nas never bettered this. You know, very few people of that vintage ever bettered what
he did. So did his career really after Illmatic, did it just fade away?
No, it didn't at all, because he's released some fine albums still, like, I mean, albums like God's Son and albums like Stillmatic. I mean, he's still very much in the game and he's still producing good work. But this defined him. This defined an era and this defined him as a rapper as well.
Does this song that we're about to listen to define this album, New York State of Mind?
Yeah, New York State of Mind is one of those tracks. It's a hip-hop stone-cold classic. Many people have tried to copy it. Many people have aped it. And it just remains one of those tracks. It's got a bounce. It's got a heart. It defines what this album's all about.
New York State of Mind from Nas, and Jim Carr was talking to us about the album Illmatic, which is 20 years old this week.